Yo. 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 Aubrey Edwards, Tony Schiavone. We bout to party. We bout to party. Unrestricted. Got the house now. We gon' turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is AEW Unrestricted. Aubrey and Alex here for another awesome episode, talking with another awesome person on our roster. I'm very excited about this one because she's been killing it for a number of years and she finally, finally got the All Elite graphic. Hello, Sky Blue, who's currently Sky Blonde, if you're watching the the video version.
Such a graceful version.
Right. It's one of those like, okay, well, you know, this is what it looks like when you're trying to maintain hair as a wrestler.
And this is why you have to watch the video version.
Oh, yes. I promise it's going to be blue.
Right. It's a very complicated process.
Welcome. We're so excited to have you, Sky, because we've seen you kind of grow up here in AEW. And we're going to talk all about that. You've got a fascinating backstory. And I think everyone is really excited to finally have a chance to hear from you as to how it came to be. So let's jump into it, Aubrey.
Yeah. So first off, we have to give you your flowers. You've got a number of accolades in your short career so far. So one-time AAW Women's Champion, 01 USA Women's Champion. In 2021, PWI ranked you 74. 2022, PWI ranked you 110. And of course, obviously, congrats, recently officially fully signed to AEW.
Thank you.
It was funny watching Twitter. Everyone's like, wait, she wasn't?
I know. I was like, ah.
It's complicated. It's like you were all signed in our hearts. Like,
y'all were stuck with me, but now you're really, really stuck with me.
Now we're really stuck with you. It was one of those things where it's like, I think multiple times backstage, I know I always had this thought that whenever we saw like the Dynamite card pop up, I was like, Sky Blue on Dynamite. It's like, oh, this is going to be a good match, because you're just consistently one of those people that goes out and has good matches, regardless of who you're wrestling.
Thank you.
I think that's one of the things I love about you as a wrestler, is that you just add to whatever is happening in the story, whether it's, you know, the Outcast versus the Originals, whether it's, you know, you and Madison teaming together, which is just adorable. Whatever it is you're doing, it's always going to be an engaging match because you're involved with it and you do a lot of awesome stuff.
Thanks.
So first off, congrats. Like, what does it mean to you to officially get that graphic and officially be a part of AEW?
I cried a lot. Because I remember like my first extra work was still pandemic days in Jacksonville. And I remember being terrified. Like, and I remember like being an extra in that crowd, like shaking. And that was actually my first day of extra work. Queen Aminata's first day of extra work too, which was really freaking awesome. But I remember like sitting there and we're like, crap, that's going to be us. Like, we're sitting in the crowd. Like, we're going to have to go get in that ring. And I like remember they told me my first match was against Britt.
No pressure.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it's just Britt Baker. And then this is Dustin Rhodes. Like, I wasn't back until the All Out that I got signed. And then I just like, to see you go from like, I was literally like, I remember cheering in the crowd to like 2 a.m. or whatever it was, to like getting the graphic and being able to like, I FaceTimed my mom because like CD had told me, he's like, hey, yeah, they want to put the graphic out today. I just texted her. I was like, hey, just be prepared for something. And she's like, what the hell is that? Like, she's just like, what do you mean? She's like spamming my phone while I was in the makeup chair. So I FaceTimed her and I just like sent her the picture of the graphic because like Twitter put it up first, and she was crying, screaming at the phone, and it made me cry. And I'm sitting in the makeup chair. I was like, I'm trying not to cry. And I put makeup on my face. I'm going to ruin it. Cause like, I never thought I was going to make it to like that point of like, cause like, I've wanted to do this for so long. And like AEW has been the dream company since I was running around on the Indies. So it was like the fact that he was like, yeah, it's for real. I was like, oh, it's actually real. Like, what?
This is one of the things that really sticks out in my mind when you first wrestled in Chicago.
Yes.
You know, we as announcers and people who watch every single match, there are certain matches or certain moments, and then there are certain talents that we see, especially unsigned talent, that you just don't forget. And I specifically remember how crazy that Chicago crowd was behind you. And that was kind of the first time I really realized, oh, who's this Sky Blue girl? Boy, she's talented. And the crowd loves her. Can you tell us a little bit about how special that night was for you?
The All Out week was extremely insane. And I was so emotional. I literally came from doing NWA Empower and then like the whole TV loop after that. I literally flew and texted Sean. I was like, if I look like a bum, I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm just getting off the airplane now. And he's like, it's fine. Just get here. Just get here. I was like, okay, I'm coming. The first match was against Riho. And well, at first he was like, oh, you're not going to have a match today. You'll just have the one tomorrow. I was like, okay. And then he goes, never mind. You're wrestling Riho. Go find Kenny. I was like, what? Me? And then the next day it was the Red Velvet one. And I was so excited because like I have wrestled Red on the indies and like, I love Red. She's such an amazing human being. She's so talented and athletic too. And like, we can both do flippy stuff. And like, cause we're both small and we were like, oh, we can hold each other up. Like, and I was so excited to wrestle her and that match went like so well. And we had time too. I think we had like 8 minutes or something like that. So like we had time to do stuff.
Yeah. You had a decent amount of time if I remember.
I remember like you were saying, you're like, you're doing so good. Like you were repping it. And I was just like, don't smile, Scott, you're selling. And then like we started to walk and then she came and got me and I was like, what are we doing? She was like, I don't know. What are we doing? I was like, why are we going up the ramp? She's like, I don't know. I thought you knew. I was like, no, what are we doing? And like, then she thought she was turning heel on me and then Tony came out and I just remember bawling my eyes out for a good hours afterwards. Cause then I called mom and I was like, I'm in the battle royal.
I remember that because like in the middle of the match, things were going so well. Whenever you have an extra talent that's there and the crowd is behind them. Like, I think the same thing happened with Abaddon and Cheetah.
Yeah, they were booing
There is
Red.
Something special. They were booing Red, who's the baby face of the match. It's so funny because she ran into that situation with Willow where like she had to turn heel mid-match because everyone was just so behind Willow. And it's like, sorry, Red, you got screwed a couple times on that one.
I'm sorry.
But Red's kind of in a similar boat. Like, Red is a lot like you, where if you put her with someone, she's going to have an awesome match. So it was just such a great moment. And I remember... it's somewhere in the middle of the match. Someone goes, okay, we're going to put her in the battle royal. We need to like figure this out. And they're like trying to determine how we're going to announce this literally as it's happening. Like, okay, make sure we get her up the ramp. Tony's going to come out. We're going to do all this thing. Wait, do we even have a spot open in the battle royal? Is this something we can even do? Kenny's coming over. Like, we're talking about all of it. Like, what are we doing? It was just this crazy, crazy moment. But like, that's the authenticity of wrestling. To see people who are doing amazing things and to see these opportunities just sort of like come to fruition because you fucking did it.
Like, yeah, I just remember like standing at the top and I was just like, that's Tony Khan. Holy shit. Like,
that's the guy.
Like, this is real, guys. There's so many pictures from All Out. Like, there's a handful of Chicago photographers that were like in the crowd. And there's a picture because like I had the entrance and I was just like terrified. And they're like, oh yeah, it's like 25k that was in the crowd or something. And I remember there's like a picture at the top of the ramp and I was like looking and I literally look like I'm about to throw up on the ramp.
Yeah.
But it was like the coolest thing ever because I have never wrestled in front of like that many people other than AEW. Like when I first started, it was like 8 people max in the crowd. Like, it was nothing. And then there's also a picture from All Out where I'm like literally walking down Loser Lane. It's a picture of me looking up and crying because all the people that I train with from my training school had printed sky blue section signs and it was just filled like all the way up and I was bawling and I was like, now I'm really bawling because I'm looking at that.
Oh my God.
It was so cool. It was surreal to like, and then like watch it back and be like, shit, that's actually me doing the damn thing. Like,
and you are. And speaking of doing it, how about you're involved in this feud with the Outcast? What is this like to be involved now in a rivalry with Saraya, with Toni Storm, with Ruby Soho? What does that feel like?
I was so excited because I've always wanted to wrestle Ruby and Toni even before like Saraya got to AEW. Like, those were like two on the dream list. I don't know if I can say I love them as people, like as human beings.
Oh, we break kayfabe here all the time. Like, they're both incredible people.
It's unrestricted.
Okay, I don't know. I love them as human beings and they always are like, take care of me and like look out for me. And they're just like the sweetest human beings. So then like the fact that like, when I got the singles match with Ruby and then Toni, and then when they said, oh yeah, here's Saraya. And I was like, 13-year-old me is like freaking out right now. Hold on. Like,
right.
These are the people that you grew up. Like, I even watched Toni Storm's NXT matches, like, and like studied them and would be like, I want to try that move. Oh, can't do that one. Like, oh, can I try this one? Like, it's crazy to think like I grew up watching them and it's like now they're not just like idols, they're coworkers. And like, they're actually like cool human beings too.
They're cool human beings. They're locker room buddies. They're friends. Like,
yeah.
Go to the bar together.
You know, and then we get to just go out and do what we all love and like have the same passion for and just like kill it.
It's awesome. I actually want to jump ahead a little bit and share this quote from Soraya that when I read it, I laughed so hard because it's very you.
Oh my God.
It says, I feel like Sky Blue is going to be the next big thing. She's growing and evolving. And although we have to calm her down with wanting to take so many bumps,
yes.
Where me and Ruby are just like, chill, sister. And that's like one of my favorite things is like seeing Madison get mad at you for all of the stupid shit that you do. Like,
yep.
Oh, wait, she can't wrestle because she took a chair to the head this weekend in India. It's like, dude, what the hell? And you're like, I don't know. We just need to do something.
I love this so much. And I get so excited. And I'm just like, oh, we can do this, this, this. And I'm like, and they're like, no, Sky, that's not safe. And I'm like, no, it'll be fine. Like, don't worry about it. I want to do what all the guys can do. Like, all the guys go out there and go through tables and stuff. I'm like, when do I get up? Like, come on, guys. I'll go through a table.
Hell yeah, man.
You know, I think it's so cool to see how far you've come just as a wrestler, as a performer, you know, from the first couple of days that we saw you. And then you've just become this kind of complete wrestler, which is, you know, kudos to you for putting in the work, you know, to really kind of just evolve and continue to get better. I wanted to ask you about that. What's changed? Have you been training with different people? Have you studied a different way? Or how has this evolution kind of come to be?
It's definitely a lot of like the training that we do at TV with Dustin is definitely different because it's like we train in a little 16-foot ring. Like you can't even stand at the top rope because your head hits the ceiling because everything's like low ceiling in Chicago. Like when you train, I think at TV, because like now it's like, oh, you got to face this way because the hard cam's on this side. Like your crowd's over here, but like your main crowd is what's at home watching. So I think it's just like, you know, training normally, like, you know, rolls and bumping and drills and whatnot. But like then adding the fact that you're learning from literal legends in this industry and then throw it on top. They're like, this is how you take the indies and you throw it to TV and you like take what you already know and what you can do and just polish it for TV. It's more like little things that you have to change, but then they add up when, you know, when you put them all together kind of deal.
One of the things I want to talk about a little bit is your match with Jade Cargill. The finish of that match sticks out in my mind so much because it was so wild and crazy. And she's just like throwing you around and you're doing all this crazy shit.
That match was, yeah.
And I love that because you're very much like, you're small and you could do crazy flippy stuff. You find the right opportunities to do that. Like talk about approaching that match and sort of the, like how you're using the height difference between you two to sort of build this awesome, awesome, basically crescendo of a story.
So like, I remember I had wrestled Jade, I think like 2-3 times before singles wise. I wanted it to be completely different because we like wrestled the last, maybe it wasn't the last, but like a previous battle in the belts. And I just wanted it to be like something completely different. And I kind of like wanted to push her out of her comfort zone. I was like, you know, you can do it. And like, mm-hmm. Jade is so talented and so athletic and like, so like she's insanely strong. I'm just like, okay, you can just throw me this way. Like she can go. And like, I wanted to just push her and be like, I know it would make her like, I knew the choke slam on the ramp. She was like, I don't want, I'm like, it'll just do it. Just please.
Mm-hmm. Again, those stupid bumps that you do, yeah. But they pay off.
Like when you think about it, like that's like the stuff that the guys are doing. And that's what like makes us stand out and makes it be like, yo, we can do what the guys are doing. And it's like with Jade, I wanted to show like how like powerful she was. And it's like, I wanted to look like I literally had to work my ass off to get something on her kind of deal. Cause like, she's such like a beast and a monster. And like,
she's a powerhouse.
Yeah, like an unknown figure.
No offense to Hobbs, but she's a powerhouse.
Sorry, Hobbs. But like, I wanted it to look like I wanted it to be different. I wanted it to be different than all the past ones. And for the finish, I was like, okay. And I even knew, I was like, all right, telling Billy Gunn this. He was going to be like, what is wrong with this child?
Yeah.
Because I remember I said it to him first and was like, oh, I'll springboard. She'll catch me like this. She'll flip me over, pop, and then she'll get it. And he's like, she's going to do what? And he's like, you can't do that. And I was like, I promise we can do it. And I showed him. And he's like, holy shit. He's like, you could actually do that.
That sounds very Billy.
Yeah. When I told him to cut off, he was like, what? I was like, it'll be fine. Don't worry. He's like, all right, kid, go ahead. But no, I love Billy. It was so cool to like, also like watching Billy Gunn growing up and he's just agenting this match and he's like, you're crazy, but we love it. And I'm like, little kid inside is like, holy shit. But no, I love that match. I watched that match back multiple times and the whole time I'm just like, yay.
It's so good.
That's definitely my favorite one that I've had with Jade.
Yeah, and you guys nailed it for sure.
Need a rerun. I'll come up with more crazy bumps.
Very cool. Well, we are talking to Sky Blue here at Unrestricted and Sky. When we come back, we want to make sure to ask you about Mama Sky.
Mama Blue.
Yeah, Mama Blue, Mama Sky. We'll get back to it. We'll figure out which way to call her.
We'll figure it out when we get back.
Alex and Aubrey back here at Unrestricted with our very special guest, Sky Blue. We are learning so much. This is so much fun. But now it's time to start talking about your backstory and how you fell in love with pro wrestling. And we definitely want to talk about how your mom grew up as a wrestling fan and kind of got you into it. So tell us a little bit about that. So you grew up in a household with a mom that loved wrestling. I can definitely identify with that.
So both my parents actually love wrestling. And that was like one of the things like they bonded over when they were like dating and getting together and stuff.
Ooh.
They were actually, I don't want to mess this up, SummerSlam 94. They were like front row for that.
Thanks, Mom.
I didn't want to mess it up. I'll say the wrong year or something, but they were like front row.
No, I mean, if she's there, you might as well ask her.
But there's like a picture of my dad trying to like jump into frame the last second because he wanted to make it on. My dad's an idiot, but they love wrestling. So it was like, it was always on in the house when I grew up. And then when she was pregnant with me, she was bedridden for like 6 months out of the 9 months, which is why she says there's only one of me. Sorry. But she likes to claim that that's why I was a wrestler, because like when she was bedridden, she watched just wrestling nonstop. So she says like that I came out wrestler.
It's kind of that osmosis. Like if the mom's taking it in during the pregnancy, it just kind of
just like, oh, it's on.
Yep. It just transfers through the womb. We don't know how it happens, but that's how it happens. Yeah. Obviously, you're growing up in a wrestling household. Your parents are super into wrestling. When did you make the realization that you wanted to be a wrestler, and like how did they take it?
So I actually only told mom first, because we were staying at my grandpa's for a little bit, because he had just had surgery, and we had just lost my grandma. So we were staying with him. I think it was on summer break or something. And it just all we were watching was wrestling. Like, he would be recovering and just sit there and watch wrestling with him until he, like, fell asleep or something. And I was sitting there, and I was like, I couldn't sleep one night. And I was like, I'm going to find a training school, and I'm going to do this. And so I was like, stayed up all night looking for one, and like, they were passed out. And I was watching wrestling, looking for a training school, and I found one little small one. And I messaged them. I was like, hey, do you take women? Like, will you train women? And is it a problem? I'm still in high school. And they were like, yeah, you should probably finish high school. But if you're 17 and your mom is there, it's fine. And I was like, cool. I told her mom, I was like, hey, can I go try out for this? And she was like, you're not actually going to do it. And I was like, okay, now I'm going to do it. So then my grandpa was like, gotta be okay. You can't go by yourself. I got to go with, you know, I can't let two chicks go to this wrestling, you know, being protected grandpa who had just had a surgery for something. So like poor grandpa was like waddling all drugged up going to this wrestling tryout thing. And so we went there just one day to watch, and they were like, just at least get through your junior year. I made it to about spring break, and I was like, okay, I ain't waiting anymore. So then we did this little tryout thing, and I think they expected me to just like not stick with it, because it's like all these huge tall guys, and it was very small, middle of nowhere, one of those training schools.
Yeah.
I fell in love with it, and I literally was obsessed with it ever since. And we would like train like twice a week. I would get there like super early. I'd be the last one out of there. I was obsessed with it. And I looked at her and I was like, yep, this is what I'm doing. And I was like, you can't get me out of here now. And she'd be like, all right. And it was like an hour and a half drive.
Oh my God.
It was before I even knew freelance existed. Whatever I must have Googled. Or her coworker actually would take his son to their shows. So I was like, oh, that's easy. We already have like somewhat of a connection. It would be an hour and a half drive each way.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we'd get up and go to school and work the next day.
That's passion and dedication. Good for you.
It was, my high school hated it, but
of course
it's paid off.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now they're always like, hey, Sky. Like, no, guys, I'm not coming back. No.
Nope.
But it was really cool to like be able to do it with her and have her there for like everything. Like, granted, she saw me like broke my elbow and everything too, so she wasn't happy about those days. But the rest she was very happy for, and it was cool to like do it with her and like hour long car rides. It was nice to not be by yourself and at midnight or 1 a.m. and having to go to school the next day.
Now, when you first got in and started wrestling, is it true that you started doing mostly intergender matches for like the first 3 years?
Pretty much, because the school that I was with, I was only allowed to wrestle for their show.
It's a weird, weird thing. Some territories are very territorial.
Mm.
Yeah. But so I was the only girl. They brought me in a couple girls like Sierra. Sierra was my very first match. So it was really cool. It's always really cool to see her like in the Milwaukee or Chicago loops. I'm like, when do we get to wrestle? We full circle. But like, so she was my first handful of matches. And then they would bring in a couple girls like here and there, but mainly it was intergender. It was either intergender tags, maybe people under like mask gimmicks, and that I wasn't wrestling like big guys that were like their main roster guys, which again makes no sense, but they were a very old school like training way. So like very Memphis, very girls can't hit guys. It's not going to do anything. You got to chop the tree down, stuff like that. The one dude that I actually mainly wrestled, I wrestled him like every Saturday for God knows how many years. His name's Connor Core. He actually still wrestles now up in that area. So it was pretty cool to actually like see him still wrestling. So he took a break after I left. But yeah, intergender is a lot of fun though. Like I love it. It's a whole different story you get to tell, and like, and not anything like against girls, but like dudes are definitely stronger. So they'll just, it's very easier for them to like throw us around, or like if we want to do a flippy move, they can be like, yeah, and just go. It's easier.
I mean, independent of gender, like you're utilizing your either your partner's or your opponent's strengths and weaknesses, right? Like if you're wrestling with someone who is stronger than you, like, and you're tiny, like they should probably throw you around if you want to tell the best story.
Exactly.
We've talked a little bit about the pandemic and you coming to AEW for a couple of dark matches, but in 2020, pandemic hits, you and some Chicago friends rented a practice ring.
Yes. There was, oh Lordy, who said that? Oh no. It was at the Berwyn Eagles Club.
Oh, wow.
It's like the Chicago venue other than Logan Square.
Right. Like those are the big two on the indies.
Yeah. So like the main ring would be downstairs. And the ring is actually like the building. So like that ring would stay there. But the upstairs, they had like this little, oh God, low boy, not even a six, maybe a 16 foot, maybe.
Oh, wow.
And the ropes weren't even fully tightened, but it was something. So like when we were all stir crazy sitting in the house, we would just rent the ring out for a day and just roll around and do whatever we could just so we were still doing something. Cause our training school was too close to Melrose Park. So it's like too close to the city that they're like when the city was on like super shutdown, whereas Berwyn was at least a little further outside, I guess. I don't know. Or Berwyn just didn't care.
Well, that's cool that you kept yourself in shape during the pandemic. Obviously so important to be able to do so. And we talked about you wrestling for other promotions and be the champion for other promotions, but I believe it was GCW that you wrestled three times in one night. Is that right?
Yeah. That's actually where I met Queen Aminata.
Nice.
It was like a tournament, and they were like, oh, you're gonna wrestle Deonna Purrazzo for the first one. You'll probably be out first round. I was like, that's totally fine. I'm wrestling Deonna Purrazzo, and that's
yeah, she's great.
Amazing. I absolutely want to wrestle her a million more times. She's so talented and she's so easy to work with and knows how to tell a story. She's literally, I was so excited when it was her and Mercedes for AEW.
Yeah.
But no, the first round match was Deonna. And then the second one was Genocide from NWA. And then the third one was Aminata. And Aminata beat the crap out of me, but it was so much fun.
Before we move on, because you've mentioned Aminata a couple times, like you guys are pretty much best friends.
I love that girl. She's my best friend. She's such a dope human being. She kills me sometimes. Like sometimes she's a little too, like, y'all think I'm crazy. She will do just as crazy of stuff.
I think that's why you guys are best friends. Cause there you definitely go. Yeah. Just like, okay, well, there's some similarities here. That's all we're going to, that's all we're going to say.
We were so excited to wrestle that dark match. We were like, we're going to just go crazy.
It was awesome. Cause I think you guys did that dark match and then Maria's promotion like showed the match that you guys did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, which is like it was all the same time. It was like there's a lot of wrestling content with Sky and Queen all right now, and they're both really great and different and amazing. And I just love that you guys, when both of you are in the ring, it's just always fun to watch you. So I like that you have multiple opportunities to work with each other. Let's talk about NWA a little bit. You did the TV tapings down in Georgia for Power. Talk about the differences between doing TV for NWA versus AEW.
It is. Well, the Georgia ones were super strict COVID. So those ones were so different because it was like, I remember having a gear malfunction my first time there. I was so embarrassed that they had to like fully just like restart the match. And it was okay because, you know, it's COVID and there was no fans. So it was pretty great. It is definitely different because like their setup is very like old school. So it's like, you know, you have the hard cam, you have like, you know, you work this way. The entrance way is totally different. Like it's like through this curtain and like you go to like podiums for promos and it's like, it's more smaller and like less pressure than say like AEW. Not, I don't want to say like pressure. Like it's not like.
It's a more intimate feeling.
Yeah, that's a much better word for it because it's smaller and like it's also the same group of people. So it's like. A smaller roster, so you're more comfortable with everybody and you're a little closer with it. Like I remember I wrestled Melina and little child me was like, oh my Lord, you're wrestling freaking Melina. But
And then you also work with Mickie James there as well, right?
Yeah, I was the pre-show for when she did Empower for the women's pay-per-view. So that was really cool. And she's amazing to work with. I was so excited when Kiera got to wrestle her. She was over the moon about that match.
Oh, I know. That was one that Kiera was like, always been a dream match for her. And she was just like, oh my God, oh my God.
It was so cool to just watch too and like to be a fan for that match. I was like, damn, that's my friend wrestling her idol. Holy crap. Like,
man, it's always so great. Is there anything you learned from Mickie that you carried with you?
Definitely, like, she pays attention to, like, the little things. So it's like when we were, like, running the match by her, like, because I wrestled Chrissy James. So, like, we both, like, had the lucha background. So we wanted to play on that because, like, not a lot of people have as much lucha background as us. And we were the first match. So, like, oh, we want to, like, do something different. So then when you see all the rest, it's like they, you know, like, we didn't want to take, like, it was like a short pre-show match. Like, we didn't want to take anything from the main card.
Makes sense.
But, like, she was, like, even, like, the little things, she was like, well, on your entrance, like, your entrance is still, like, a huge part of the wrestling match other than just the wrestling. So it was, like, even, like, the little details, like, on our entrance, like, on our beauty shots, and, like, stuff like that, she, like, was paying close attention to. And, like, or, like, I won on, like, a roll-up, I think. And, like, she was, like, make sure you roll out of the ring and then you celebrate. So it's, like, because you're, like, holy crap, I just won. You don't want to get out of Dodge, you know, because she's a heel. But it was, like, how close attention she paid to, like, the little things and, like, how the little things add up in the end. So it was really cool. And she was super hands-on, which is dope.
That's the kind of people that you work with where, like, they really care. Jerry Lynn's a lot like that, too, where he's, like, really looking at the little things.
I love Jerry.
Jerry's a friend, best man. Before we go to break, I do want to touch on something you kind of mentioned, like, bedazzling. So a lot of people don't know this, but you're, like, our backstage bedazzler because Chris, who works in wardrobe, hates it. Absolutely hates bedazzling. So how did you become the bedazzler of AEW?
That's a great name, by the way.
I know. I was like, it should have been in the contract, like wrestler and bedazzler.
Right?
I honestly don't know. I kind of just like started doing my own and like, and then if everybody asked, I would do whoever's like, I would do Kira's or I would do, you know, whoever wanted bedazzles.
I think you were doing Ethan's the other day.
Yeah, I did Ethan's on Wednesday. But then there was one day like Chris was like, I have to bedazzle this. And I was like, do you want me to do it? Like, I don't mind. And he was like, yes. And then all of a sudden, just be like, okay, Sky, here you go. Here you go. Here you go. And I'm like, okay. Like, and I don't mind. I can crank that. When it's like Brit's gear, I need some warning because that girl loves her crystals. And not that it's tedious, but like when it's Brit's, so it's not like a basic, you know, stick them in a line or follow a pattern or something. It's like you create stuff with her bedazzles and you use different colors, different shapes, different sizes. So it's like, just give me some warning when I got to do Brit's is all I ask of them. If it's everybody else's, I'm like, that's fine. Just throw it this way. But just warn me on that one so I'm prepared and have all the supplies.
Is this something you were doing before?
So do you know, Rick from Global Wrestleware, the gear maker?
Yeah.
So he was at NWA when I had like the wardrobe malfunction and they sent me over to him. They're like, go have him fix it. I was like, okay. And I showed him it and he was like, oh, it's cause it's crappy gear. I was like, yeah, I'm still new to the nice gear thing. And then he was like, okay, sit. I was like, okay. And this man was like, we're going to work on Ty Conti's. It was her gear, Anna's gear. There's a handful of people from AEW's gear. And he was like, all right, we're going to crystal. I'll stick the glue down. You stick the thing down. I was like, okay. He taught me how to do it. And from then on, he was like, damn, you're actually good at this, kid. And we would just sit there and bedazzle all day when I didn't have a match and when he was overwhelmed with stuff. He always told me he was going to make the gear and it never happened because schedule and conflict. And that man takes on so many projects. But yeah, he taught me how to do it at NWA. And then I just kind of kept doing it from there.
Very cool.
We're talking to All Elite Sky Blue, professional wrestler, professional bedazzler. Coming up, we got fan questions. Very excited.
Oh boy.
Unrestricted, AEW Unrestricted with Alex and Aubrey talking to All Elite Sky Blue, bedazzler, wrestler, maker of bad decisions when it comes to bumps, bad decisions that end up working out. So it's kind of encouraging her to keep making bad decisions. But regardless,
multi-talented, in other words,
judgment-free zone. I didn't know this about you. Before we get into fan questions, you were a wildlife photographer?
What?
Yeah. So I used to be like a super shy kid and I like hated social things. Like men terrified me. Like my mom would like, I would hide behind my mom and like, I went to private school because I was like so scared of crowds, which is super crazy to think now when I do this.
Now you're a wrestler and it's like, what? Yeah. You're afraid of crowds? Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's weird. I used to photograph, like we'd go to the zoo. We would go to wildlife preserves. They used to work at a wildlife preserve and they kind of got me into it. I like brought my camera one day. I was just taking pictures of all the animals that we worked with, and I was like, oh, this is fun. And then I just kind of like did it from there. And then I just kind of fell off it once I started wrestling, and then mom picked it up. Now mom brings a camera to all my wrestling shows that she's able to go to. And she used to do the like the first training place I went to, she did the photography for them. They would decorate the windows.
That's the most indie thing I've heard.
100%. Like, hey, your mom takes pictures. Can we decorate our building with them? And like,
of course.
The building would be just covered. Like, 8x10s would be my mom's pictures and everything. It was crazy.
Oh my God.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So let's jump into some of these questions here, because obviously you got a ton of fans and so many questions here, and we want to make sure to get through as many as possible. So Jamerson315 wants to know, who would you choose for your tag partner if there was, I guess, an AEW Women's Tag Team Championship?
Well, if Madison wasn't injured right now, I would say Madison. But since she's injured, please get better soon, Madison. I miss you.
Oh, my God. We miss her.
So much. I think probably Kira Hogan. I tagged with her a couple times, and I absolutely love her. She's like my mom. And she's just super fun. And we definitely have like kind of similar movesets and like, you know, moves you can stack and whatnot. So,
and you already have matching gear, so it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. And matching. We had both have tinsel in our hair. Well, once it's dry.
Lots of blue.
Lots of blue. Maybe that's a tag team name. Lots of blue.
There you go.
I love it.
We call each other tinsel twins because we both put the tinsel in our hair.
Yes.
Like, that'll work one day.
That is the tag team name. Sky Blue and Kiara Hogan, the tinsel twins. I love it. Book it. Book it. All right. Question from Comic Book Alex. Who is your favorite wrestler to be in the ring with?
Oh, God. There's so many. Do I have to pick?
Nope. List them all.
Yeah.
Oh, list them all. Okay, I can do that. Toni Storm, Ruby. From the indies, Gringo Loco.
Oh, my God.
That man is so good at basing. I wrestled him once, and I was like, I need to do this a million more times. He just throws my ass around everywhere. Anthony Green was also super fun to wrestle. I wrestled him once on the indies.
I love Anthony Green.
He is so talented, and he... Telling the intergender story with him, it was at BLP. It was so much fun. And then he was like, oh, I do this power bomb from the top. I was like, I'll take it. Let me do the fun stuff. Kill me. He's super fun to work with. Diamante. I love wrestling Diamante. Like the Ring of Honor match that just came out. That one was so much fun.
Fantastic. Yes.
Dude, when you told Jerry, I was like, I'm going to take a German on the apron. He goes, what? And I was like, yeah. And then I'll roll back into the ring. He's like, you can't roll back into the ring. I was like, yeah, I can. He's like, no, you can't.
Telling this to a guy that's had neck surgery. Like, of course he's going to say no.
I was like, come on, Jerry. Britt's pretty fun to wrestle, too. I wrestled Britt a handful of times recently. Or like, maybe earlier in the year. But it felt like it was a lot. And it was just cool coming up with different things to, like, evade or, like, go to her stuff. You know, her stuff is very... I feel like it meshes with my moveset, too. And Jamie. Jamie's awesome. That match with Jamie on Dynamite. I was so excited because like we wanted that rematch ever since the Owen Hart one.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since that match, we were like, we want one with more time. And then they were like, okay, here's the Dynamite one. We're like, yay. Like we were both so excited. I had lists of ideas. I was like, all right, we can do this. We can do this. We're going to go 45 minutes. And she's like, all right, calm down.
Reeling you back. So I got a really interesting question here, especially I'm dying to find out the answer because obviously you're from Chicago and Chicago has so yes. much amazing food.
The pizza question.
No. Well,
oh, okay. No.
Not really, but you definitely should we can answer go the pizza question. Yeah, for sure. That'll be my question for you.
Okay.
But NAF or NAF wants to know, what's your favorite cheat meal?
Probably Chinese food.
Ah.
There's a Chinese restaurant a block from our house, which is dangerous. But normally, like, egg rolls and pot stickers, and they have smoothies. And it's, like, always a block away, so it's, like, the easiest. And I'm like, all right, Chinese food. And they know us by name.
Of course they do. I love the idea of pot stickers, egg rolls, and smoothies. Like, those are three things I would never think to put together. Yeah, I guess finger food, chill out food. All right, question from Alex Abrahantes, mm-hmm. the pizza question.
Yes, please.
So my dad is, me and my mom actually don't like deep dish, but my dad is obsessed with deep dish, and he loves Lou Malnati's.
Oh, yeah. We're on the same page there. Love your dad already.
Yep. You can have him.
Oh. All right. Great, we'll go to Lou's.
He would be so excited. He loves the wrestling, so it's like he's so confused because like he's a Facebook dad.
Mm-hmm.
Anything he sees that says AEW, he goes, oh, I gotta read it. I'm like, no, don't.
That doesn't mean it's true.
Oh my gosh, my mom calls me with that too. She's like, I was on Facebook. I'm like, Mom, what have we talked about?
What did we tell you about Facebook, Dad?
There's nothing good that comes from a conversation that starts with "I was on Facebook." Like,
true.
Or he'll be so confused. And it's like, nope, just stop while you're ahead, please.
Just turn it off. Just turn it off. Minimize, close, deactivate your account.
It's cute though because he cares. Or he'll be like, why is everybody so mean to you? I'm like, Dad, no, that's not how that works. Ruby's mean. You always talk about her and her donkey. I'm like, yes. But yes, we're going to meet the donkey one day.
Her donkey and her hairless cat and all the other barnyard animals she has.
Oh my Lord, yes. I'll have a field day. I'll just go rile up all the animals and be like, all right, bye. We're all wound up.
We have a question from Conrad. I don't know if you're a horror movie fan, but what's your favorite horror movie? No?
I cannot do. I am a little chicken shit and I'm terrified of everything.
Oh. This is why we get along, because yes. I'm afraid of everything.
And I have the night terrors and the sleep paralysis.
Yep. Okay. So since horror movies aren't your thing, what is your favorite genre movie?
Oh, dear. All right. I'm going to sound like a child. I don't watch movies. I definitely don't have the attention span for it. So my mother's already laughing. I watched the Scooby-Doo 70s.
Ooh.
And I can probably recite every single episode and know what episodes from what season and... like the old school ones with like the Harlem Globetrotters and the Marlon Hardy, like all of those.
The hidden talents of Sky Blue.
My mom's laughing in the background.
Marco Solis Martinez wants to know, what are your goals here in AEW now that you're officially signed?
The main one is be here as long as I can, wrestle as long as I can. This was the dream. This was the dream company. And like, I just want to learn everything that I can from everybody there because there's so many like people's brains to pick. Dustin, Jerry Lynn, Dean Malenko, like people that like I never in my wildest dreams imagined meeting and now will like come up to me and be like, hey, I got some pointers for you. And I'm like, I just want to be a sponge and absorb it all in and like write it all down and like just learn as much as I can and wrestle as long as I can. I just love this stuff. Like it'd be great to be a champion one day, but I just want to wrestle for as long as I can and like wrestle all these amazing talents and keep learning from them as I go. Because you learn something different from somebody each time you wrestle. And then, like, that just makes you a better wrestler. And, like, you keep learning and evolving and growing. Like, because you can never learn enough wrestling.
I always feel like there's also, like, the great combination of you have this opponent and this coach assigned to your match. And then later on, you'll have another opponent.
Yeah.
The same opponent, but a different coach. So it's, like, the way that they're all approaching matches is completely different. So even if you've wrestled someone before, you might be getting something completely different out of it just because of all these different combinations of mindsets and movesets.
Yeah.
Super awesome. Got a question from Shifty Matchups. I love these Twitter names.
Right?
Since you recently announced that the last CSW show you were on was your last one, how was your time in CSW?
It was great. They literally like became my home when I left like the first training school because it was like a huge jump. And they were just like, yep, come on, welcome in. You're one of us now. And they were super awesome. Like our head trainer is Steve Boz and love the man to death. He's crazy. Still wrestling, doing a million moves and all his moves. The other guy who is our like main guy is Jason Hades, Jason Paul. He actually came up with Mustafa Ali and Ricochet. Ooh. And was like on the road with them and would go wrestle at IWA Mid-South with them. So it's really cool to be able to pick his brain and like hands on with like the wrestling and be like, whatever you can help and teach us and like implement from TV to make CSW like a better indie. So like more people want to come and we can teach the kids more. So they were just super like welcoming and just like wanted to like work with me and like just make everybody like train and then like do the shows and just like make everybody better in the process. So it was really cool. And it was cool to like do my last match with Jason Hades. Made me cry like crazy, but.
You're a big crier. That's what I've learned through all this. I already knew that, yeah. But now it's like, now it's public knowledge.
Confirmed.
They threw the streamers when I did my entrance and I was like, all right. So I figured that was because he told me, he's like, just don't wear eyeliner. I was like, when you told me the day before not to wear eyeliner, I already know it's cut. So like he did the streamers and I was like, okay, I can handle that. After the match, his like character is like a gargoyle demon thing. He's like, oh, I'm going to pick you up like a dead body and just throw you in the ring. I was like, okay, cool. Didn't think he's going to pick me up and be like, I love you so much. Thank you for everything you've done. I'm so proud of you. And then plop me in the ring. And I went, oh. Then the tears started coming. I was like, God damn it. I was doing so good. And then they were like, and then they send out all the kids and, you know, everybody's banging on the ring. And then they're like, speech, speech. I'm like, no, please, no. Like, no. I'm trying to not do this.
What a moment. That's so cool.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was sad, but like cool at the same time and be like, all right, I can still come, but now I get to like just chill and watch when I'm at the shows. I don't have to worry about like wrestling. Now I can like more so help the newer kids and help them figure out how to do this.
Very cool.
So I've got a question here for you from Rips that says that they love your bubbly and energetic happiness when you come to the ring. But, but what would it take to make Sky Blue turn heel?
Oh dear. I don't know. My home promotion even talked about doing that. They're like, it's just not realistic. Like, you're too nice and you're too, like, I get compared to Kylie Rae a lot. So, and it's like, even like her being heel is very hard because like she would like start out all bubbly and then she'd like be mean and turn heel, but it's still at the same time, it's so hard to boo her. So I feel like, I don't know. I would just have to like wear long pants or something, or like, I don't know.
Total gear change.
Yeah, just completely. Yeah, total opposite. Just like take away my caffeine or something.
Red hair instead of blue.
Oh,
no, mom said no red hair.
I think red has the chance of getting on more stuff than blue does. I don't know.
Oh, like the hair dye bleeding?
Yeah.
I had pink hair in high school and it got on. Yeah, it was bad. I don't recommend. That was not a good pink hair. But I remember having the varsity track uniform and it was like white and then like had little orange and blue stripes. And when I turned mine in at the end of the year, it was very pink. And they were like, hey, Sky. And I was like, yeah, I'll just pay you for it. Give it back.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. This is a great conversation. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so proud of you. I love working with you. I'm so happy to hear that you're, you know, with us officially. And I love hearing about all the crazy shit you want to do and then telling you no and then watching you do it anyway. Because you do it all so well. So thank you, Sky, for being here. You can follow her on Twitter at Sky by V with two E's, SKYEBYEE, and on Instagram, Sky Blue. And of course, you can listen, follow this podcast, new episodes every Thursday, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can watch the video version and see a brief behind the scenes of a Sky Blonde, new episodes every Monday.
Sky Blonde.
Dynamite, Sky Blonde.
Love it.
It'll be blue, I promise.
It'll be blue. Dynamite, TBS Wednesday nights, Rampage, TNT Friday nights. I am Aubrey Edwards, along with my guest co-host, Alex Eberhentes. Thank you so much for listening to AEW Unrestricted.
Come on, throw your hands up, let me see you.